The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover. That's right. We are Gotham Undercover, and I am Jeff X-Force 11.
And I'm John the Silver Vox, and welcome to Gotham Undercover. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing pretty good. Recording from my remote bat location this week. So things are a little bit different. We're still giving Karen some time off. And so I was so grateful that you could come in and give us a hand again this week, John.
Hey, you know, I'm always the fifth wheel on the Batmobile, you know. Happy to be here. Welcome to our listeners. This is Gotham Undercover, episode 82. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search out the Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what episode are we talking about today?
We're talking about the sinking ship, the Grand Applause, and... Yes, some of these episode titles I'm scratching my head on. I hadn't dug too deep in to find out what things mean, but anyway. This episode was written by Seth Boston, who is a writer's assistant on Gotham, and he's done several things as far as PA work goes, notably on The Mentalist, so that we get a lot of writers over from that. So kind of really a first-time writing credit for him. And then we had director Nick Kopus, who's done work on the series Siren, the new series Salem, and he's directed several episodes of Arrow. So he's kind of been in the verse and kind of getting used to kind of some of the darker stuff. So kind of newer folks here in this season, the last two episodes, and we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kudos to the writer. I thought that was really, really put together.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode. I appreciated it more on my second watch. I came up some on my rating on the second watch, and just seeing what they were doing and the stories weaving back and forth, it was kind of back and forth, and they were all involved with each other in some way, except for the Bruce and Selina section. Yeah. But it was pretty good. I gave it 8. Don't mess with Lee's.
And like you, I love the progression that this episode gave. The storytelling was back and forth really quickly between everyone, but again, it was edited well, put well together. I gave this one 9. Miss you too.
Yeah, that was good. All right. Well, not as witty of story titles this week, but our A story is the Oswald and the Riddler ride again. We have our B story, former lovers fight ferociously, and that's Jim and Lee. We have one of our C stories is Babs has such a headache, and that kind of covers our Babs, Tabs, and Butch section. And then we have Bat and Cat seek justice. So it was kind of fun seeing them work together.
So, Can we start there?
Yes, let's do. I really like this. So, oh man, I appreciate it because we have Bruce hearing a ruckus in the kitchen, and he's coming in with the fire poker ready to bash somebody over the head, and all you see is cans rolling across the floor, and you hear Selina, you know you have no food in here. And It was just such a fun kind of introduction to where we're going with this. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I really, really enjoy when these two are not at odds and just really coming from a place of understanding and working together. And this episode was so, so good. And I know it won't last because, like she said, he's going to, you know, do it again. But, oh, man, this was so sweet. And, you know, he tells her just as he's about to leave, yeah, there's cookies in the blue tin or whatever. And she, that smile on her face of, yeah, okay, he's back. And them coming together, going to the fence, fighting together and getting the stuff back. And the moment of conscience for Selena. Oh, my goodness, this was deep. It was so well directed. The notes between these two were pitch perfect. Oh, my goodness. I loved it.
Yeah, I really, really appreciated this because, you see, Ivy is so tough, and she will do things that need to be done, but she does have that her own internal morals and ethics, and she just felt so sorry for this family because the husband was killed by Ivy. And she feels so guilty about being there. And Bruce is telling her, you know, it's Ivy's fault. It's not yours. But she knows, she feels like she could have done more. She could have stopped it. And the least she can do is get back the jewelry, but yet she doesn't want to do that because it's so hard for her. And I love the fact of, like you said, the banter back and forth between her and Bruce, the fighting style when they're going at things. And I love Bruce. It's like, once the guy, Selena's got the guy with the whip, you should have taken the deal, and punches the guy out and then just tosses the money on it. So it's like, you know, at least the guy got paid, but he got beat up, he and his thugs. But yeah, I do appreciate this because we see this shades of the relationship between the two of them that will go forward in the comic, and that understanding between each other. You know, they're at odds at sometimes, they're working together at sometimes, but they get each other. And I really appreciate the acting here and the back and forth in the writing. So I just thought, you know, this was a little section or two within the story, but it just continued things. It reminded us that Ivy's still out there, but it just reminded me, you know, of who these two characters are. And I just really appreciated it because it was a nice break from the kind of nonstop movement that we got in the rest of the story. So it was really good. So I really appreciated this section.
Absolutely. You know, one of the Nolan films, one of the aspects of it that I enjoy, and I know Anne Hathaway is not the quintessential Selena Kyle, but the relationship between Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne and Anne Hathaway's Selena Kyle, I think that aspect of it really, really works. Mm-hmm. And I really got the same kind of vibe from coming from Carmen and David. Just the two of them really, really work well together. And I was so glad to see that showcased in this episode.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, it's going to be hard to do the rest of this, but let's talk about the other C storyline, the Babs section, because we see Babs and she is just got ringing in her ear. She's got this headache going on, and Tabitha obviously notices it and says, you know, you still got that going on. And
well, it's not even just ringing, because I watched it with headphones in. There are voices talking.
Right.
To
her, yeah.
And I was trying to figure out, okay, do we know that from somewhere? Well, is that supposed to bring up something for us? And I just wasn't placing it anywhere.
Well, so the advantage is I had closed captioning on.
Ah.
And so we're hearing these voices, and some of them are voices that we know, but I'm like, is this from another episode and she's just hearing it? I'm just not sure, because the section where she is there and that when Ed has been brought in is audio from Ed saying, rip her spleen out with a hammer or something like that, because it actually says Nigma. And then, it's like she's hearing these echoes, and whether they're from past episodes or from the future, I don't know. But yeah, she's hearing these echoes and these things calling out. And so that audio gives us a clue that it's more than just a migraine. Because, you know, with migraines, the sensitivity to light and even smells, I appreciated that when she was talking about Solomon coming in.
But you smell like dirty dentures.
Right. Those things are keyed up, and brightness is keyed up when you have migraines. But this, and there can be audio things as well, but not like whole conversations. So at first, I'm going, is she going crazy? And then we're kind of reminded of what happened in the beginning with Roz basically giving part of himself, his soul, over to her. Yes. And so you really have this, she's seeing there at the end, she's seeing light in her hand coming out, and then she sees Roz coming toward her, and there's this almost kind of a merge. And so it's going to be really, really interesting to see if we've got Roz and Celine and Bab's body now, or if there's going to be some fighting going on between the different personalities back and forth. It's just an interesting way of moving this forward. And so I really kind of appreciated that they're bringing this back around. They're bringing it, and the way that they're doing it, it was a neat way to see it.
Yeah, I agree. I love the use of Alexander Siddig in these kind of fantastical moments, but yet he's so integral to the story still. And just like you, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, so Tabitha is trying to help her out and trying to look out for her and the business things. And we get Butch bringing in, and it is Butch bringing in Ed. Yes. And he's very smart about things. It's like, you know, I figured you would want revenge on him. And she, once again, she is wanting him to be a part and not to leave. And so she's reaching out, but he's not ready. He says he is making his way back, and he wants to be fully back. I loved the interactions that Butch had with Nigma, and just this kind of thing that we're getting with multiple people with the same face and things that we're going on with this storyline.
Well, and I love that his interactions with Barbara, she picked up that corkscrew and he was like, scary. And then as he's telling Tabitha he's going to come back, there's this implied threat to Barbara. I promise you, right? And I was like, ooh, yeah, because I really want to see him take her down a notch or two. Not kill her,
right? But
certainly take her down for the cold-blooded murder, basically, that she did of him.
Yeah, me too. And like I said, I love this kind of ins and outs. And it was a pretty packed episode, but I really appreciate that. But, you know, even with everything going on, Babs has the mental wherewithal to say, listen, let's turn him over to Sophia, you know, Ed over to Sophia. She'll handle things. She'll get the information. And when she's done, she'll kill him. And we don't have to dirty our hands with it. And so
no headache.
Right. Yeah. She's got no headache there and really smart on things. And I think she knows, too, that upset as Tabs is with Ed, that she might not follow through, and this is a guarantee that it's going to be followed through with. So, I appreciate that. All right. Well, let's kick it back off with the A story. And we see Martine being held captive by the thugs. And it was kind of funny that one of the thugs was reading a very familiar comic. Yeah. Now, I couldn't zoom in enough to see the issue number, but the comic is the one where Batman got his start, that comic. And so it was a lot of fun kind of seeing him sit there and chuckle at the comic. And so maybe it was one of those more lighthearted ones as opposed to the more serious Batman ones. But you see, and Ed is really the Riddler, because he has snuck in pages to Martine to give him a hint of how to, you know, get the help that he needs. So he's instructed to go turn on all the gas in the kitchen and get out, and even to cover your ears. And in comes the thugs go to investigate the noise in there, and in comes the flaming firecracker or whatever, and boom go the thugs. I love
it. Let's go get some ice cream.
Yeah. Well, I love seeing the Riddler come in out of the dust and the smoke there, and Uncle Oswald sent me. Let's go get some ice cream. And
great beginning.
Yeah, and it was so cool to see. And so now that threat is out of the way for Oswald, he is free to get out of Arkham. And so he gets the contact message from the Riddler in riddle form, and evidently the guard's in on it, so he gets a knuckle sandwich, and then he falls and hits his head and winds up in the infirmary. And this series of events was a whole lot of fun. I mean, I just really enjoyed. We get Zaz informing Sophia that about Martine, and she's like, go kill him. And Zaz says, I've got a buddy. And we see our buddy Headhunter again.
Hey. Love that he was back. Hey, how you doing?
And she's like, whatever, go. And so they're headed over there, and they get interrupted by our good friend Harvey.
Now, okay, I need to take just a 5-minute non sequitur here.
Okay.
Harvey and Jim, mm-hmm. right, they are coming back together, mm-hmm. and kind of figuring this out. Now, I'm getting hung up on why it's such a big deal that Sophia and the pig and Jim, I'm having a hard time following through why it's such a problem for Jim in his role in all this. He wasn't complicit in bringing the pig to Gotham. So I'm really having a hard time why they're kind of painting it like this is hanging over him. Like this was like this, if the truth were found out that Sophia brought the pig to Gotham, that it would totally undo Jim. Can you help me with this?
Yes, because here's the situation. Basically, they went into a deal to say, I'm going to handle the law enforcement side of it. You handle the crime side of it, and we're going to take Penguin down by any means necessary. So okay. While he was not in and knowing that she hired the pig and brought the pig in, he was complicit with the fact that he was in cahoots with her and basically gave her free rein to do criminally what she wanted to. And he feels guilty because she brought in the pig. Pig wreaked havoc, called officers to die and be injured. And so it's him agreeing to let her have that reign over the criminal section that he feels guilty about. But what he really feels guilty about is that in giving her that free rein, all these people got hurt because of Pig. So it's Thank not you. Like he said, okay. it's not like he said, okay, bring in Pig. But he, because he had to deal with the consequences of Pig, but it's him giving Sophia that free rein that, you know, that he feels guilty and he feels like that he, you know, he needs to atone for his sin. And even at the beginning of the episode there, Harvey is saying, we're going to take Sophia down and then you're going to have to pay for what you did. And it was interesting, you know, we'll get into that, you know, a little bit later, but interesting to see that turn around. So they've got this working relationship that Harvey said, yeah, I'm going to help you out. He takes his badge back and he runs down Leeds, and you know, Scandinavian Skinner, and you're like, oh my goodness, who is this guy gonna be? And it's this grandma running a candy shop, and you know, her grandkids are in there, and it's like, hey kids, I want to tell you a story about your nana. She's like, no, okay, I'll tell you. And so she spills the beans that Penn was the Don's eyes and ears, and they've got to figure out how to get to the Mr. Penn. And so, okay, let's head over to Arkham and find out. So he heads over there and he runs into Zaz and Headhunter, and he's woefully outgunned.
Woefully.
Especially with those two. I mean, yeah. You know, Headhunter's okay with his shots, but Zaz is, you know, he's Mr. Marksman, and so he's outgunned, but the Headhunter's got the laser sights on his guns. And all of a sudden we get an interruption because we've got a breakout going on. And so Ed has broken out Oswald. They're heading out to the truck and uh-oh. So our two henchmen decide to come back another day. And then they find out that he's gone and they're like, uh-oh. And Harvey's in a dead end too, so you know, I just, these interactions of back and forth were a lot of fun. And Oswald, I mean, you know, he's out, he's free now, he's wondering, you know, Martine's okay, and they've got to find out the next steps, and they've got to find a power base. And I love that the Riddler is like, okay, I know how to get a power base. I know who has a power base. He's on top of things. And so you see him getting into Ed character. And I'm like, what's he doing? He's like, hold my hat. And then he's taking off the gloves and he's loosening the tap. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And you see him come into Doc Lee's clinic. He realizes, uh-oh, she's not going to be any help. And he calls Oswald in. That was hilarious.
Yeah, she's like, what is this? What's this?
You're
yeah, so she figures out that the Riddler is indeed back.
Yes.
That he's working with Oswald. And she all of a sudden just lets it loose. And mm-hmm. I know we're going to talk about how she's just kind of gone off the deep end. When we talked last week and you said, what did you take from Jim looking in the hospital window at Lee? Mm-hmm. I just sort of went off with it and said, you know what? Jim is going to stomp down the city until he can get to Sophia. Mm-hmm. I honestly didn't see Lee turning into Psycho Lee.
Well, it was cool to see because, I mean, yeah, it's wild to see her in this episode, but she was just so on top of things and wanting revenge. For me, I look at that and yes, she was badly hurt. And mm-hmm. and hurting her hand hurts her livelihood as far as it makes it harder for her to do her doctoring skills. But her real drive for this is for the people of the Narrows, mm-hmm. because yeah. she has done so much work this season in consolidating those people to showing them a better way, she's become this protective mother figure for them, and she's seeing the effects of Sophia bringing in the muscle of Samson, and, you know, he's just turning over everything she's worked for. So it's a personal thing of revenge, but it's more of a, you mess with my family, now I want to end you. And the so she's, you know, listening to the Riddler's suggestion of, okay, well, we don't have the muscle now. And she's like, well, I can direct you to somebody who may be able to help, and he's been missing you. But, you know, so she sends Ed down there. We've talked about that, you know, that didn't go so well for Ed.
And I'm not Grundy.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You're not the only one that got smart.
But she waiting with Oswald there in the office, and she is bringing in, you know, trying to calm Oswald down. And Oswald's like, no, I gotta go. And oh, me, you know, so it was just interesting to see her. But she is saving people's bacon this whole episode long. I mean, she saves Oswald from the shootout. She comes in and she's saving basically Butch and Mr. Penn later. She's saving Jim later. She's just saving everybody's bacon. And, you know, so it was a lot of fun just to see. Yeah, she was crazy, but you can see her motivations. And so I just really appreciated that thought of, okay, she's doing this not just out of, okay, I was hurt. No, she's being a vengeful mama bear.
Well, and in the larger picture, you know, here is what's happened to Lee after spending time in Gotham, right? Mm-hmm. She came in as a fairly, you know, mild, maybe even meek medical examiner within the GCPD. And now she's turning into someone who wears a hammer and takes it out on her enemy. And this is what I love about this show, because spending time in Gotham changes people and it creates these things in them that are monsters at times. And just we get to see that whole thing develop. And I love that side of the story. I hate it for Lee. I even, when she, you know, went off and wrecked Samson's hand and all that, I was like, no, that is not, part of me was saying, no, that's not who she is. But again, I come back to, this is what Gotham does.
Yeah, and you think about what Samson has done, and as violent as she was in taking that vengeance out on him, on his hand, the fact is he had killed at least one person in front of their family to say, listen, I only care about protection money. And so it's not as bad as it could be, but you don't want to see that. I mean, she's wearing the hood. Like you said, Gotham changes people. It is not going to allow anyone to stay the same. And just the effects of how Gotham changes people is really seen. And so, yeah, it was very interesting to see her progression through this part of the story. But I was so appreciative that she was, you know, really on the ball to risk her life to pull people away and get them safe and make sure that they're okay. And so, yeah, she's taking a dark turn, but she is at least still looking out for people. And so I really appreciate that. So Oswald, he's out on the street. He's thinking that the Riddler has betrayed him. He's just upset. And along comes Jim and Harvey. And they're this like, I love Harvey. It's like, nothing's ever easy. We've got to find Lee to get to this point, to get to this point, to get to this point. And to find Oswald, or we could just go ask him.
Who knows and has history with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's ever easy. And then, or we could just ask him. We're looking for this guy about yay tall, just escaped from Arkham.
With a mommy complex?
Yeah. It's like, oh, so, you know, I like it. Jim's like, listen, we'll let you go. You just need to give us this information. And so once Oswald realizes that Mr. Penn has been spying on him and wants revenge on him, he's kind of glad to give him up.
Oh, moment of the episode. Oswald puts it together that Penn was working for him, and he's just... Yeah.
It's like, he's going to have an aneurysm blowing his top like that.
Fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. But so he points them. Mr. Penn is hiding out in a quote-unquote spa on the edge of town.
Weird.
Yeah, where they have very special treatments. Oh, and so before they can head off, we get our duo of Zaz and Headhunter coming in, and you know, they put two and two together that they're looking for Penn, and Zaz is like, "That's his yes face. That's a yes. That's his yes face."
Is he important? Yep, that's his yes face.
Oh, Zaz is just so much fun, and just,
oh, I love him.
Yeah.
He's the best because he's got the situational awareness that people like Headhunter and others just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way he's written it, consistently just top notch. Love Zaz.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and they're like, we can do things the easy way or the fun way. And they start shooting. Headhunter goes, the fun way. And then we have Lee, you know, swoop in, steal the car, and steal Oswald. And Tim's like, we got to get to the spa. We got to get a car first. I just love it. I love it. And we get to this spa, and you're like, what's going on here?
That's weird.
You got the kids, you know, the people acting like kids flying kites. You get inside, and you've got a room full of grown and aged adults acting like babies. And I'm like, there's this many rich people that really want to be treated like babies? I'm like, okay, this is messed up. I mean, I know we're in Gotham.
Yeah.
But Harvey spots Mr. Penn trying to crawl off, and he's like, oh, no. And, you know, I love you. Mr. Penn is a smart guy. He's like, I'm loyal to the Don, but I see the which way the wind blows. I'm going to preserve myself. And so he was really playing everybody. He was feeding info to the Don. He was working for Sophia, getting info about Penguin. And he was working for Penguin with the license program and everything. He was just playing everybody to save his own hide.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, and so they get, you know, they're starting to get the info they need, but unfortunately, Sophia and the boys are there, and things are not going to go well from here on out, and it was not fun. I've got to ask you, this is where I kind of brought it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. From a 9, because the injuries that we're seeing Jim get
mm-hmm.
in this episode combine with what we see at the end. I'm just like, yeah, he's sending Harvey off with Penn to get away so that info can be put down so that Sophia can be taken down legally. I understand that. So yeah. He's shot. He's getting them away. And he's, taking out the thugs, and it comes down to just him and Sophia. And Sophia shot him like 3-4 times.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding that, yeah, it's, he's got a couple shoulder shots. I understand the writing and that kind of stuff, but I'm like, does he just have to be shot so many times? It just doesn't make sense with the end where, I know Lee's a good doctor. I know that she's going to take care of things so that, he can be okay. He's got to continue. But I'm just like, could you not have shot him so many times?
We've seen him get zinged and then still, come up with the gun or whatever. And I think we had to be put in the position of, okay, he's not going to come back from this one. She is going to seal the deal.
Right.
And it took, Lee changing things. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. After the second shot, I was like, ooh. But then the third, and I was like, oh. and it does become a little, unbelievable. But I like the message of, okay, he's run out of goodwill. Like, the Gotham goodwill is no longer with him, right? So from that standpoint, I think unfortunately where I was left was that Sophia is in a coma. And I was like,
yeah, okay. So here's the deal. She's monologuing.
Yeah.
And I get it because she has had all of her plans crash down on her. She's been frustrated this whole episode at every point. Yep. Oswald's gotten away. Martine's been spirited away. Mr. Penn has gotten away. All of her plans have gone down, and she's just so desperate. She's monologuing. She's, why couldn't you have stayed with me and let me take you and your soul a piece at a time? Why, and she gives him the chance to apologize and get back in her good graces. And I'm like, honey, child, you are just so out of it if you think that he is going to try to do that just to save his life. He has told you that he did all this for the GCPD, and I'm like, okay. And so she's standing up and she's continuing to monologue, and James Gordon, like she's giving him the life sentence. And then we see Lee come in to save the day. We see a gut shot and then a headshot. And I'm like, what is it with Gotham and people with headshots that doesn't kill them? I've watched enough programs like CSI and other things to know, yeah, you can have some glancing blows, but okay, she's in a coma. Okay, you could have fooled me, kind of like they did with Butch. He was shot in the center of his head. Come on now. But I don't know. Gotham just doesn't like
closure.
Yeah, I don't know, but oh, man. Anyway, I guess they can, keep her around. I don't know how they, I don't know what they're going to try to do with this because, the way that they took Butch and made him Solomon, I could understand that. But, I just don't know what they're going to try to do with her in a coma. I don't know why they would try to keep her.
Well, obviously, we can't have her, some off-screen moment and somebody say, yeah, well, they brought her off life support and she died. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, where does this go? We can only come back to this wheelhouse again and again and again. So, yeah, I'm interested. I'm not going to write it off till they kind of tell the story. We've seen 3 different people play Ivy. Yeah. And they pulled that off pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. That's why I knocked it down a couple points is just because just the unbelievableness of things. But what I did really appreciate in this section is we see Jim waking back up in the hospital, and Harvey's there for him. And Jim realizes what he needs to do. He needs to confess. He needs to come out. And you see Harvey being the voice of reason. You see this. I'm seeing this and I'm hearing this writing, and I'm reminded back to The Dark Knight. You know, the conversation at the end of The Dark Knight between Jim and Batman. That, listen, what good is it going to do if you confess? It's going to, you know, you're going to be fine, but the entire GCPD is going to be ruined. Because he has come in, Jim's come in, he has been that strong captain, he's won their trust back, he's fought them back from being crooked and brought order in this city. And him going down is going to erase that, because Harvey knows that he can't provide that for him. And he says, no, you're going to have to live with it just like I'm living with it. And Jim goes, so Sophia won. And Harvey goes, it's what's best for the city. And so I love these call outs, because you see Jim go through this, and it makes that dialogue at the end of The Dark Knight so much more powerful, because you know that he understands what Batman's saying, that, you know, he has to be the one that's hunted at this case. So I really appreciate these keystone moments where you have characters going through parallel things that other characters go through later. So there's this understanding. So that section of dialogue really was powerful between the two of them. And I just really, really appreciated that.
Agreed. Agreed. Well said, sir.
All right. What have we missed? What have we left out as we jumped all over the story?
Yeah, we just sort of incorporated the B story there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because they were so interwoven. Yeah. I mean, we did get Sophia and the dentist torturing. torturing the Riddler, but yet he still got all of his teeth. I'm like, okay, how's that work? But, you know, hand wavy, hand wavy. Then you have, we didn't address the fact that they have to go with the Riddler's backup plan.
Oh, yeah.
And so Lee takes Penguin over to Victor Freeze's, and they're like, okay, listen, we can get you your money. You just have to freeze him and deliver him to Sophia. And, you know, Mr. Freeze pulls out the thing, hands it to Penguin. That should work. It's all I've got right now. And he's like, are you ready? Nope. And he gets frozen into the block of ice.
Oh, and the electric guitar riff while it's happening, it was
You know, it's like before that, you know, he's arguing with Lee that he could die. And she's like, well, if it brings Sophia down, I'm okay with it. So, you know, he gets into Sophia's place, and he doesn't get to take out Sophia, but he does, you know, learn from the dentist where Ed didn't give him up, and that he's got to go rescue Ed. And I love the fact that the Riddler's there on the edge, and the thugs are giving him a bad riddle, and he's like, oh, that's the last thing I hear, just shoot me. And that they get taken out, and you see this, you know, reconciliation between Oswald and the Riddler, and they're both like, I don't ever want to see this pier again. They've just got so many bad memories of that pier on both sides. I mean, you know, Penguin gets tossed off of it in season one by Jim. You know, the Riddler gets frozen on that pier. They've just got bad memories of that pier.
Yeah, I love the meta. That's kind of a meta shout out to us as the audience too. Okay, we're not coming back here. So yeah, good stuff. I love the visualizations of this. You know, the cross cutting where they, you know, kind of run the camera through the city. Mm-hmm. There was a Zeppelin in one of the shots early on. There was some of the street signage and all that. I mean, just the little details that the production department goes into.
Right. And we saw twice walking by the wall in the Narrows, we got to see the Joker eyes graffitied on the wall.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it was, you know, those little touches that the production staff just goes through is just great.
Yep. So, yeah, just beautiful, beautiful artistry to this show that mm-hmm. I adore.
Appreciate that. All right, well, let's get into some feedback. All right, if you will read this feedback from Chris.
Absolutely. Chris says, Jeff, one note from last week. When I mentioned The Crow, I was actually thinking of the Brandon Lee movie, one of my favorites. But Sting definitely works as well.
Nice.
If Penguin were my uncle, I'm putting myself for production. Uncle Penguin sent me. Sean Pertwee is the narrator on Professional MasterChef UK, so he picked up anything from that show. And if Alfred baked those oatmeal raisin cookies, you can bet they are delicious.
Nice.
Absolutely. I love that Oswald apparently thought that a broken glass bottle would be effective against two guns. Gotta say, I'm not entirely certain I like Mr. Freeze, Abercrombie & Fitch male model look.
Yeah, Jada brought that up in the Facebook thread as well. Yeah, I mean, the dude was cut. I don't know what he's starring in otherwise, but I'm like, jealous. Man, that guy's like cut. I'm like, okay, Mr. Freeze has been working out.
Yeah, J.D. was. How can Mr. Freeze be so hot? Okay, how many movies and TV series would turn out quite different if the villains would just shoot the good guy when they had the chance instead of talking their ear off first?
Yeah.
Always done by the monologue. Has nobody ever watched James Bond? I mean, come on.
Are the Incredibles. Call me monologuing.
So many candidates for the Batmobile keys this week, but Lee's final scene with Samson wins her the award. Another good episode, and I give it 7.5 out of 10. Bowler hat, headlamps. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you tell the good folks how they can leave us some feedback?
Let's do it live. What do you say?
Okay.
You can have your feedback read or heard right here on Gotham Undercover. Just please submit it to us by our weekly deadline, Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278, or you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can leave a text file, you can upload an audio file, or you can use the provided SpeakPipe widget. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at GothamGSM. And the Facebook group is at Gotham Undercover. To subscribe to any of the Golden Spiral Media podcasts, or to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And now, here is your host, Jeff.
All right, here we go. We've got some news about next week. And so the title is One of My Three Soups.
What?
Okay, I'm going to need Karen to really help me with some of these titles. I have no clue. But I guess I can dig into that and find out. But anyway, so the information comes as follows. Arkham's quote unquote finest give Gordon and Bullock a run for their money as they hatch a plan to escape from the asylum. Meanwhile, Bruce devises his own strategy to thwart their plans. Also, Barbara gets an offer she can't refuse. In the all new A Dark Knight, One of My Three Soups episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, March 29th. 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Fox. And We've got promo images up for the episode after that one as well. And a description of the episode after that. So we're trucking along. They're giving us little bits. Looks like we're going to probably finish up if there's not any breaks. And I still don't know about that yet, looking at the promo site. If we don't have any breaks, it looks like we'll probably finish up probably the second week of May. But it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And this is looks like it is a pretty Jerome-centered episode, or maybe this episode, and we got some spoilers, but we've got some Mad Hatter coming up as well, so we've got some good stuff coming up. So having the inmates of Arkham escape is not a good thing on a lot of ways, because there's some dangerous people in Arkham.
So Shades of Batman Begins.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, John, thank you so much for filling in. And
absolutely.
We hope to have Karen back with us next week, but we really appreciate you filling in for us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here as always, Jeff. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right. We'll join y'all next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.